Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 3, we were taught that the devil has an abundance of anything we want to fulfill our carnal pleasure. Let's pick up with that thought today. Foundation for the Bible. So many choose the life of luxury, levity, and lasciviousness, anything goes, having departed from the way of righteousness and true holiness. What do you mean by it doesn't work today? Does fulfilling the lust bring one to righteousness and true holiness? No. 1,000 times no. I believe that it was Alan Redpath who said, it is a pathetic thing to find so many Christians believing that the best way to bear witness for the Lord is to imitate the devil's methods to try to resist Satan by the same kind of a program, technique, ability, an organization which he, the devil, has already perfected. The devil is a master craftsman, and he's been honing his skills for over 6,000 years. He knows what our flesh wants, and he provides it for us in all of its unsatiable enjoyment. It doesn't matter whether it's entertainment, music, literature, art, or carnal pleasures. His storehouse is full of whatever meets our fancy. All we need to do to enjoy it is jump right in. And may I add this, it can make you feel very good about it, but the results in the long run may bring you great sorrow. I've had people that thought I was crazy 20, 25 years ago because we wouldn't do the contemporary music, stuck with King James Bible. Your kids were wanting to go to church where they do all those things. It's fun over there. And they would say, Mom, Dad, I really enjoy this church. I don't want to get out of church. I want to go to church, but I get so much more when I go over to church here instead of back there at that church. It's so boring, and I just don't get anything out of it. And by the way, the Bible, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, his word, his doctrine will be boring to you if you don't have a heart for God. If you have your heart in the things of the world, those things will be a drudgery. And if you're in a church where they're preaching the word and they have the right kind of music and using the right Bible, but your heart's not there, you'll endure it if you stay, but you will not get what God wants you to have from it. The problem will not be with the preaching. It will not be with the Bible. It will not be with the music. It'll be with you. And I say that because over these many years, I've been 33 years already just this one church as a pastor, and 2 years before that as the associate pastor, and in nearly 6 years before that in full-time pastoring at another church. I grew up in church, okay? And so having grown up in church, my dad being a pastor, no, I've seen it. I've seen parents give in and say, yeah, you know, they want to be a witness. They want to be that. I've visited kids in jail that are now adults that said, the biggest mistake they made was getting out of OCA or Christian school by telling their parents they wanted to go to the public school and be a witness. And all they did was wanted to get out from under the preaching of the word and the rules and the regulations and so forth. And they said that's where their life was messed up. I've had parents come back and say the biggest mistake that I made was to pull my kids out of the youth group and out of that church and to pull ourselves out of that church. My friend, I'm glad they repent. I'm glad they've come back and apologized. But my heart breaks for the damage that was done to so many over the years. And listen, Satan's going to attack. Satan is going to attack. You know, in America right now, the biggest thing is on the lips of many is impeachment. Well, if you're a pastor preaching the word, you've got people that want to impeach you about every day, about every month. And so just understand that that's just the way it goes in the day in which we live. But hey, this world is not my home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up. Oh, up there with our Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen again. So having said all of that, and I know I kind of got off the beaten path there for just a few moments, but I thought it was necessary to do so. Verse 6 showed that those who deigned to lower their so-called dignity to be held to the ridicule of the world ended up a gazing stock. A gazing stock is a bad connotation. Now, this happened to Nineveh, who repented 150 years earlier at the preaching of Jonah. The result is, as Ahab, they are a forgotten people. Ahab's line stopped, and so too Nineveh. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 and verse 11? There it says this. Now, these things are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Did you get that? These things were examples. They were our examples. These things in the Old Testament, these things that we're reading right here from the book of Nahum would come under that umbrella. There are examples that we should not lust after the evil things as they did. And we try to justify them. Oh, we go out of our way to try to just them. And in such a way that they make people think, well, they're no longer evil. And they like to use the words liberty, grace. Listen, our God is a God of grace and mercy. But he's never a God that smiles and justifies sin. In verses 11 and 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, I've said this before in our broadcast, but I want to say it again here because I think it's apropos. When he says, wherefore? Wherefore is in the Bible once for about every three or four times therefore is in there. You say, well, what's the difference? Why do they have the difference? Wherefore has the idea of stop and take care of this right now. Get it straight now. Therefore has the idea of do this as you're on the way towards a goal. But wherefore has the idea of take care of it right now. So again, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You better go back and examine. Never, never, never say that'll never happen to me. By God's grace, that'll never happen. How many said that at one time? gave in to the evil, for example, of the contemporary movement, of the Calvinistic movement. Proverbs chapter 4, 21 states, "Fear thou the Lord, and meddle not with them that are given to change." You see, all these churches are changing. They're changing. Well, you know, we can't win them if we don't do this. Well, what are you trying to win? What are you trying to win? Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We're not out to win them. We're out to change them to the image of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you're not out to win them. You're out to change them from sin to right, from the unholy to the holy, to the unrighteous to righteousness. Why not do God's will, God's way? Nineveh had proposed financially, had prospered, should I say, and proposed financially to all vice and sinful pleasures with drinking and immorality prevailing. And so that's why I said purpose, because it became a purpose, but they proposed it to others, to one another. So it permeated the place. And that makes me ask this question. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that been often reproved shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." What does God need? What does he need to do to get our attention? Does he have to take a child? Now, if he takes a little one to heaven, that's for that little one's good, but you're going to be hurt. Will you be saved so as by fire? Does 1 Corinthians 11:30 and 31 need to be true for you to do right? Do you even believe it? There we read, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now don't forget, in Corinth, you had all kind of problems there. Drinking, gossip, immorality. I mean, you name it. It was there, and it was seeping back into the church, back into their lives. "And many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." In other words, they died before the Lord had really intended to bring them home. But then he adds in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." In other words, if we'd do the wherefore and take care of it right now, get it confessed and get it forsaken, and then pray that it's not your children or your spouse that it will take to get your attention.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.